Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in various areas around town for coffee, tea, and conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to our gathering here as we meet together for Bible Talk. And it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, each of our programs does stand alone, so you don't have to worry if you haven't heard all of our programs or every part of a series. But if you've missed any segment and would like to hear more, or if you'd like to listen again or invite someone else to listen, you just go to firstloveradio.org and you scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. Once again, that's firstloveradio.org. Now, since this is Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, because we want to have the benefit of discussing things with someone who has the perspective of a pastor and knows the Bible inside and out, Pastor Joe is here. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. It's such a blessing to fellowship with you and the brethren again, and we're thankful that the Lord Jesus knows our needs, and he is the one who provides for all of them according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Yes. Now, Pastor Joe, in our last program, we asked you if you see evil times increasing and think that we're in the last days, close to our Lord's return.
We're seeing evil and sin and wickedness, when coupled with science, when joined with science and creative graphics and digital communications, visual and audio communications, music, and on every level, all of the modern inventions, including the internet, are employed to skyrocket evil to levels that this world has never seen, except in that generation in which God destroyed the world by a flood. Things can be done in privacy. Any perversion, any wickedness, any form of evil can be practiced and observed in private without one leaving his room, without anybody knowing about it. Of course, God knows about it because he is everywhere and he sees everything. But this has never been such a situation that people can do that except in this generation. Sin is increasing and multiplying exponentially to levels only that rivals that generation in Noah's day. And so those are some of the reasons why we know for sure we're in the end times, including the recreation of the nation and state of Israel again in 1948. That's another huge landmark as well.
Yes. Now, how are we to maintain a godly love for others as wickedness and hatred toward us believers increases?
Well, I think the first thing is that we should maintain a very healthy level of the fear of God in our lives. With so much wickedness and imagery and images of wickedness passing through before us every single day, it's not like once a week or once a month in the 40s or 50s or 60s in the United States where some people would go to a movie and they would see things of sin and evil they never saw before. Well, we're living in a society where the worst kinds of evil are passing before people's eyes every single place that they turn. When they turn on the news, they're seeing murder, they're seeing civil unrest, looting, even those programs which people would consider as family programs are no longer family programs because they're saturated with profanity. And the censors are continually dropping and becoming weaker and weaker, where there's almost no standards anymore in the censors. So when you think about all of the screens, the visual outlets that people have available to them, the falling down of any kind of standards completely, where the reins and boundaries against sin are no longer there, we see that the worst kinds of evil are engaged. And I think if we as Christians allow for a daily and even frequent times throughout the day exposure to not only just a minute or two or a fleeting image, but hours and hours of our minds being exposed to these images. You know, the Bible says that if your eye is full of darkness, your whole body is full of darkness. So whatever you see, whatever goes in eye gate or ear gate or mind gate or heart gate, that's what you're going to be like inside your heart, inside your spirit, inside your spiritual man. So it's important to maintain a healthy sense of the fear of God. Flee these things. Flee fornication. Cut off all these images and screens from your life. Exercise spiritual discipline every day. Immerse yourself in the Word of God and prayer.
I understand that, Pastor Joe, that there is evil and that we're to flee evil, resist the devil and flee. But what I'm talking about is that as these evil times happen, as lawlessness increases, the hatred for the church, for believers, starts to increase. How are we as believers, out of having love for one another and having love for our neighbors, how are we to respond to hatred against us as believers?
The only way we could do that is to maintain a very close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in Him, daily exercising faith in Him, maintaining short accounts with God in terms of keeping very close watch on our relationship with sin, that we confess and repent of sin as soon as possible, and spending much time with Jesus Christ in reading the Bible and prayer. By that way, the Lord will fortify our hearts from the natural and carnal and fleshly responses that we would have to persecution, to opposition, even from our enemies. If we spend much time with God in prayer and in the Word, clinging to Christ, looking to Christ, trusting in Jesus Christ to renew us in the power of His Holy Spirit, we will be likely in a position at any given moment throughout the day, we will have the love of God that we need to have to respond to the persecution, to the abuse, to the hostility of the world that will come against us in an increasing way as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We will have more likely the love of God right there on the forefront of our hearts and minds to be able to show to these unsaved people who misunderstand us, who hate us because of who we are and who we represent. We'll be able to respond with the love of God if you do those things.
Yes, because as humans, we're so limited, and we have our human natures, and we tend to respond in kind. But isn't this something that we can look to God for, ask God for, go to Him if we're not feeling that love? This is something that He would be pleased about, would it not, and that He would respond to?
Yes, the love of God and the renewing of the Spirit in our life would happen automatically if you just maintain a consistent devotional walk with the Lord in your quiet time every single day. If it's a very deep walk in terms of spending much time with God in the Word, meditating on the Word, so that the joy of the Lord is renewed in your heart, and the love of God is freshly poured out on the dry ground of your heart. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. God will thaw out the coldness, the bitterness. He'll thaw out the deadness that is natural to us in our old man still remaining with us to some extent. If you just walk closely with God in every day, exercising faith in Jesus Christ to strengthen you with these things, walking closely with God, spending much time, a half hour, an hour, 2 hours every day in the Word of God, not a cursory reading, not a superficial reading, but getting the Word deep inside of you until you experience joy in the Lord and your natural coldness is replaced by warmth and the love of God. And spending much time in prayer where you feel like you've had an encounter with God. You've had an encounter with Christ in prayer. You've heard him in the deepest recesses of your heart, not an audible voice, but you know he has spoken to you loudly. You know he has heard your prayer. You're freshly reminded by the Spirit in your prayer that you are his child. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Spirit of adoption is stirred up afresh in your heart by the Holy Spirit, reminding you that your sins are forgiven as his child, that you do know him. Maintaining a close walk with God like this produces all kinds of effects that renew and revive the spiritual man in you and awaken all of these graces that God has freely given to us in Christ. So that if we just do that, walk closely with God as I have described, you will have all of the power and grace you need to deal with anything that comes against you. Because you'll be tapped into Christ. You'll be looking to him, dependent on him, relying upon him to do these things through you. And he will be faithful to his promise. He will enable you by his supernatural strength to love your enemies, to respond with truth and with wisdom in every situation. He'll give you illumination and insight and wisdom into the core issues, the spiritual issues that you need to have understanding about, to make decisions that will glorify God in your life, that will be correct decisions according to God's perfect will in the Bible. So you will have everything you need if you just discipline yourself and maintain a very close walk with God, and you cut out all worldly things, the cares of this life. You stop spending your strength and resources physically, financially, and otherwise on the things of the world that don't matter, that are vain, that are perishing. You do those things, and you will see that you will be able to survive everything that comes against you in this world as we get closer to the second coming.
Yes, but then there's that question of how do we hold on to truth when the Bible tells us that false teachers will multiply to try to mislead even the very elect, the true believers, if possible?
Well, the Word of God is so precious. There's an element of it that if you read it, all of the things that you get from your reading and meditation on the Word of God will protect you from false teachers. The Word of God has the ability to give insight and understanding in identifying heresy and false teaching as we compare Scripture with Scripture. The Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. The Bible talks about having discernment to identify good from evil. The Bible says that it is the standard by which we test all doctrine, all teaching that we hear. So the more time you spend in reading the Bible, the more ability, it's a supernatural ability, we will be given to identify heresy and false teaching. The Bible also will give us the ability to resist evil. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if you need more strength against sin, read and meditate on the Bible. If you need an increase in faith, read and meditate on the Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you need more discernment to identify false teaching, the Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is like a light shining in darkness, and it exposes the darkness of false teaching so that we can clearly see it for what it is in distinction to the truth of the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure, when you contact us, to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Now, during these evil times, will it even be possible to find a church that's faithful, or even believers to have fellowship with, particularly when Jesus himself asked, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?
Well, it will be increasingly difficult to find a faithful church as we get closer to the second coming. And we're seeing that happen. We've already seen it happen over the last 30 to 40 years where faithful churches have become apostate. Not all of them, thank God, but fewer and fewer churches have the will and the strength and the discernment to stand up for God and his truth. They lack the conviction that they once had to not compromise on the gospel and the basic doctrines of the Christian faith, the fundamental essential doctrines that you cannot even be saved if you deny these doctrines, like the deity of Christ and the Trinity, the resurrection, the virgin birth, the inspiration and authority of the scriptures. Everyone who has the Spirit of God agrees with these truths and the true gospel of Jesus Christ that calls men and women, boys and girls, to deny themselves and take up their own cross daily and follow Christ. And so, yes, in the end times, the gospel itself, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, will diminish. I was telling someone the other day how amazed I was. I marvel at the fact that the true gospel and the components of the gospel as expressed through the person and work of Christ and the doctrines of the cross, like propitiation, justification, imputation, regeneration, justification, and adoption, and many other related doctrines, have almost disappeared from the gospel. The average Christian cannot tell you what propitiation means. And propitiation is closely related to the active and passive obedience of Christ that resulted in the imputation of Christ's righteousness to believers and the imputation of our sin to Christ. Those two things are the very heart of the Christian faith. You cannot be saved without the Lord Jesus propitiating us and imputing his righteousness to us and our sins to him. But there's almost never a mention of those two critical events on the cross that lie at the very heart and core of the Christian faith. And the same thing is true with most other critical, vital elements of the gospel that prepare sinners to hear the message of Christ's death on the cross and the crucifixion, or the crucifixion message itself. The message about the depravity of man, the original sin, taking up a cross and following Christ. These elements of the gospel are very painful for the flesh and the pride of man to hear and to respond to unless the Lord has made them ready to be saved. But pastors and preachers in many places, not all of them, thank God, but more and more we find pastors compromising and eliminating these elements of the gospel, which prepare wicked, evil sinners, slaves of sin, to hear the message of good news through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension. Many of them are not preaching that anymore. So any true believer who is hungry and thirsty for the word of God, to hear verse-by-verse teaching, expository teaching, or preaching on different important topics which would equip them and furnish them with the knowledge of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ in these end times. And believers who would have an ongoing training and education in understanding the deeper aspects of the gospel so that they can present a fuller, richer, broader message of the gospel as they grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ to unsaved people, it's harder to find those churches, and you have to go out of your way. Most of the churches today that I know of that are worth their salt, people have to drive up to an hour to 2 hours to attend those churches because they can't find a faithful, solid, sound church in their area. So the church and the paradigm of the church has been changing over the last 20 years in particular, where the local churches of Christ today are finding themselves becoming commuter churches where people have to drive long distances to attend them. But there are other problems with that kind of situation going on where you can't have as much intimate, close fellowship with believers that you would like to have because you live so far away. So that kind of change in the makeup and paradigm of the church has brought about some other difficulties and challenges that pastors and local churches have to deal with.
Yes, but we are finding, like, even in these times of pandemic and so on, when we have to a lot of times meet via Zoom, that God has provided this technology where we can be together, we can worship together, we can learn from our pastors over technology, over Skype, over Zoom, even over our phones. So thank God he is prepared. He knew this was coming and he's given us tools to hang on to. Pastor Joe, I wonder if you could kind of summarize now, as you've described before, it is vitally important for those who don't know the Lord to seek to reconcile with God through Jesus Christ right away. But what message or challenge do you have for believers to be able to survive these unprecedented evil times as we wait for the Lord's return, in summary?
Good question, Bobby. I would say, first of all, don't measure yourself by what other Christians are doing or what they're not doing. Use the Bible and the truths and principles that the New Testament teaches for believers and for local churches to guide yourself and your local church as we enter into one of the darkest periods of the world's history. If you see believers around you compromising in many ways and they're living worldly lives and committing scandalous promiscuity and sin, don't follow them. Don't think just because Brother A is doing it or Sister B is doing it that you can do it too. No. Mm-hmm. You stay as close to God as you can. Jesus says that he's coming as a thief in the night. There's going to be a rude awakening when Jesus comes at his second coming and descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And he catches up his church, his holy church, to be with him in the air. There's not going to be any second chances. Not going to be able to have us say, Lord, give me another couple of months. I got to get right with God. I've got to repent of my sin, and I've got to try to use my gift to bring forth fruit for your glory now. No, no, no. We need to be doing that right now because we only get one life, one chance at this, Christians, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and use our skills and our spiritual gifts and the preaching and teaching and sharing of the gospel to bring forth praise and the fruit of changed lives that would follow you and me into the next life that will stand as trophies of God's grace, which will glorify God forever and ever and ever. We need to do that right now. Is there any other time in the world's history where we need preachers of righteousness like Noah? The only other generation like ours is Noah's generation. But Noah and his family stood steadfastly following the Lord, faithful to the Lord, when all of the wickedness and the evil was taking place around them. They were steadfast, and that's what we have to do. We need to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We need to stay separate and pure and walk in a blameless path with clean hands, a pure heart, and a clear conscience. We're not perfect. We sin, but when we do, we need to repent of it. We need to stay as far away from it as possible. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Get rid of all of these things that are causing you to stumble and sin and prolong the total, complete repentance of that sin in your life and turn from it and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's perfect. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he has the wisdom and the grace he can give you to stay faithful to the Lord in your inner man and in your outer man until he comes again. Get busy serving the Lord, but don't be so busy that you forsake the means of grace that helps you grow spiritually. Your first work, your most important work, is to read the Bible and pray, not in a mechanical way or a ritualistic way just to salve your conscience, but we read and we meditate on the Word and we pray until the Lord begins to feed our spirit. He informs our mind with such powerful truth where the light shines into our minds and we're just blown away by these truths that we couldn't see ordinarily with the natural mind. The Word giving us spiritual understanding that actually feeds our spirit and satisfies our soul. We need to pray until we pray. I know it's hard to pray, Bobby. Nobody can pray as they want to pray, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We have infirmities in our flesh that hinder that, but the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit, the teacher, and he teaches us how to pray. Every time we pray secretly and we pray in the Spirit, he comes again and he assists and educates our spirit, our drooping, dying spirit, as it were, our weak spirit. He props it up and he infuses strength and wisdom and the ability to pray according to the will of God with zeal and with joy in a spirit of worship. So discipline yourself to pray in that way. In other words, you need divine assistance to pray, but get to that place every day where you come and you pray, Lord, open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, give me a spirit of grace and supplication where I can pray and worship in a way that's pleasing to you.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the Scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. Here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Now, we all need to be grounded in the faith in order to have a firm foundation. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it enables us to share God's truth with those who need Jesus. Author Robert Jones has put together a book entitled Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. We're offering it free for the asking. This book will point you to God's Word through a collection of topics with questions and answers to reflect on. It can help you to both establish answers to any spiritual issues for yourself and to share your faith with others. You can read it straight through or in parts as a reference guide to help seek the answers to questions that arise in your search through the Scriptures. To request your copy of the book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul, absolutely free without any obligations, and that includes shipping, simply request it by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org, or by going to our website at firstloveradio.org and click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. And then for those of you who feel more comfortable writing to request your copy, our mailing address is First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Also, if you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, again, our email address is firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our website at firstloveradio.org to ask your question, leave a comment, or to order your free book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We encourage you to come back again next time and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.